question for you as we start that may seem a bit random, a bit strange, but it's actually very important. So here's my question. Do you consider your body to be a help or a hindrance to your spiritual life? Like when it comes to following Jesus, would you say that your body helps you or hinders you? Now, I'm guessing if you think about that for any length of time, you're going to say, well, I think the answer is both. I mean, on one, my body's a real help. My eyes let me see needs of people around me. My eyes let me read the Bible. My mouth lets me sing praises to God. My mouth lets me give encouragement to others. My hands let me pick up burdens and carry them for others or rake leaves for people in the community. So on one level, my body's a real help to me living out my spiritual life. But there's another level, right? Where you'd say, sometimes my body is a hindrance to me. I mean, my eyes can look at things that pollute my mind and sully my soul. My mouth can say words that hurt people, that tell lies. My hands can take things that don't belong to me or push somebody out of the way. I mean, at one level, my body is also a hindrance to me. It's both. Now, we've been finding out why that's the case in our series that we're in chapel on Tuesdays. See, we're in a series here called Finding Freedom, right? And we are journeying through Romans 6, 7, and 8. The goal of the series is to help you to find freedom from the sins that mess you up the most. The sins that show up in your mind and work out in your body and pull you down spiritually. And we've come to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, wow. And Romans chapter 8 essentially says, if you want to live a spiritual life, you're going to have to do it by the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit enables you to live out your new life in Jesus. We saw that the Holy Spirit is one who helps you walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit starts in your head, right? It starts with your thinking. It starts with your mindset. We saw that a few weeks back. But it doesn't stop there. Walking by the Spirit starts in your head, but it works its way out to engage your body, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your hands, your feet, all of you. Today, as we continue our series in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, and as we drill into chapter 8, we're going to see how the spiritual life gets physical, like really physical. Today, we're going to see how your body can become more and more of a help and less of a hindrance to you as you learn to walk by the Spirit and walk with Christ. Today I want to talk to you about physical spirituality. What does it look like to have the Holy Spirit's help in your body to help you live out the Christian life? Now I'm going to invite you to go back with me to Romans chapter 8. Today we're in verses 9 through 17. And I'm praying that today will be an unusually helpful day for us as we come to understand more of how the Holy Spirit shows up in us, through us, and helps us live out the Holy Spirit's life, the life of Jesus in our bodies. I want to talk to you about physical spirituality. So let's pray, and then we'll look at our text together. Father, I'm so thankful that you've created us, body and soul. You've made us material and immaterial. And that you have a plan and a purpose for our bodies. And you want us to glorify God in our body, as we're told in Scripture. So today we want to offer our bodies to you, our minds, our ears, our eyes. Today we offer ourselves in these next few minutes and say, Lord, would you help us? Would you teach us? Would you show us more of how the Holy Spirit is going to live the life of Jesus through our bodies. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to pick it up in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And the very first thing we're going to find should encourage you, especially if you're feeling kind of lethargic and kind of lazy and kind of listless when it comes to really living out your Christian life. On those days when you just don't have it. Verses 9, 10, and 11 should be a really big help to you. Look what it says. Look at verse 9, first of all. Romans 8, 9. It says this, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also," catch this, "give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So here's the first thing I want you to get. It comes right out of those verses. I think you could put it this way. The Holy Spirit helps energize obedience in your body. The Holy Spirit helps energize obedience in your body. The Holy Spirit empowers, enlivens, energizes you physically so that you can actually follow through and follow Christ. The Holy Spirit helps energize obedience in your body. Did you notice verse 9 talks about the fact that you're a new person? It reminds us. We saw that back in chapter 6. That you can't live like you used to live. You're not who you used to be. And verse 9 underscores that when it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." So you're not in the flesh. That's your old life. Now, you do still have some leftovers of the flesh in you. That's true. But you're no longer in the flesh. You are now, God sees you, in the Spirit. You see that in verse 9? You are in the Spirit. And then He says this in verse 9. "In fact, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." You're in the Spirit because every Christian has the Spirit living inside him or her. In fact, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, Paul says in that verse, you're not yet a Christian. Like, it's part of the birthright of every Christian. You get the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. It's part of the promise of the new covenant. And verses 10 and 11 says, catch this, the Holy Spirit goes to work to energize your body to obey. Look at verse 10. "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin," like you still have a deadness in you physically. Back in chapter 7, verse 25, Paul calls his body a body of death. We still have the old death. We're dying physically. We have the flesh living inside of us. So verse 10 says, "Though the body is dead because of sin," catch this, "the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And then verse 11 says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," which He does if you're a Christian, "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So He's saying this, the Holy Spirit who lives in you is going to energize you, giving you life to walk in God's ways. You've probably already experienced that. Like, it's Tuesday morning and you wake up and you're groggy. And you're not feeling really special. You're not feeling very energized. You're just feeling sleepy. And you think, you know, it would probably be good if I got up and I read some scripture just to get myself going. But you just don't feel like doing that. And then you have a class at 8:30 and you're thinking, I don't even feel like getting up and going to class today. Like, your body's just not helping you at this point, right? Or you show up for a ministry placement that you have on Wednesday night. You work with kids or you work with adults. And Wednesday night rolls around and on this Wednesday night you're thinking, do I have to go tonight? I don't feel it, man. I'm exhausted. I don't want to be there tonight. There's nothing in me that says I can hardly wait to show up. Or it's Friday morning, and you know you need to have a difficult conversation with a friend. You know you got to confront somebody, and you're thinking, that's the last thing I want to do. There's nothing inside you that wants to do that. Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you can energize obedience in your body. You can say, dear God, you know, I don't got it today. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like getting in your word. I don't feel like going to class. I don't feel like going to serve you tonight. I don't feel like having this conversation. But would you empower me to do what you want me to do? You cry out for help. And Paul says that the Spirit who lives inside of you, look at verse 11, gives life to your mortal body. He empowers you. Have you ever found this happen? So you don't feel like going to serve in this ministry, but you go anyway, you pray and say, Lord, help me. And by the end of the night, you come home and you're feeling way more energized than you were when you went there. You're feeling like, man, that was great tonight. so glad I showed up. See, the Spirit of God knows we need some help, and He energizes obedience in our body. That's the first thing. He helps your body be more of a help than hindrance. But there's a second thing that shows up in verses 12 to 14. Now here it's like the flip side of the coin. Track with this one. In verses 12 to 14, the same Spirit who gives life to your body wants to put something to death in your body. Let me read it for you. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14. He says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh." Remember, you're not in the flesh anymore, though the flesh is in you. "We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Hey, here's the second thing you want to catch. If the first thing is that the Holy Spirit helps energize obedience in your body, now what the Bible is saying is this: the Holy Spirit helps execute sin in your body. He does something else. He puts something to death inside of you. The Holy Spirit helps execute sin in your body. Now, this is a bit grisly how he says it. It's a bit graphic. But if you look at verse 13, look what happens. Look what it says, verse 13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." John Owen, the Puritan pastor, said, "Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But look what it says next. "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." He's talking about Spirit-led executions there. The Spirit of God helping you put sin to death in your body. That's a pretty stark word, putting something to death, killing something. We're here being told this. God just doesn't want you to curb sin. He wants you to kill it. Right? He doesn't just want you to tone it down. He wants you to take it out. He doesn't just want you to moderate sin in your body. He wants you to eliminate sin in your body. He wants you to kill it. That's just to death. He uses the same word. Put Jesus to death. Now let me ask you, did the Pharisees actually kill Jesus? Well, you say, well, no, not technically, because legally they couldn't kill Jesus. So how did the Pharisees put Jesus to death? Well, they handed him over to Pilate and the Romans, who could execute. Later wish I had not said, and I can't seem to stop this. Would you help put this to death? I give you my mouth. I want my mouth to speak right words. So kill this stuff, Lord. Put it to death. Spirit of God, you see my eyes. Sometimes my eyes wander, and I'm looking at things I have no business looking at. And I can't seem to stop myself, but you can. So I'm giving you my eyes and the sins that sometimes I commit with them. Would you put them to death? I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, what I've just described will be a regular, repeated part of your spiritual life. This is not something you just have to do once or twice. It's a regular, ongoing part of the spiritual life. I know that because in verse 13, the word that Paul uses for put to death, it's a verb, it's in the present tense, which has the idea of ongoing action. So he says, if you by the Spirit are putting to death, you're putting to death, it's ongoing, like you're doing this over and over as the sin comes up, you say, Spirit of God, this one got to go. Would you kill it? It's a regular, repeated part of the spiritual life to hand things over to the Spirit of God to put to death. Now, I say all of that because that should help you recalibrate your expectation of what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. See, sometimes we have this notion that a Spirit-filled life is a life of small struggles and easy victories. And I'm telling you, that's not Paul's view. Paul says the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-led life, is a fight. Like it's life and death. It's a cage match. And you're putting sins to death by the power of the Spirit. You're handing them over. This is a regular part of your spiritual life. In fact, verse 14 says, the very fact that you're in this fight is one of the evidences you belong to Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we think the fact that I've got these struggles and I'm having to bring them to God over and over is an evidence that maybe I'm still not really a Christian. Paul says, no, no, no. It's actually the opposite. The fact that you are with God, you are bringing to the Spirit these very things, saying, Lord, would you put these things to death? That is an evidence that you belong to God. Verse 14 says that. Look at it. Verse 13 ends by saying, if by the Spirit you put these deeds of the body to death, you will live. For, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Sometimes we take that verse, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We take it out of its context, and we think it means that God's Spirit leads us to know which job to get, which person to marry. And the Spirit of God does those things. But in this context, the Spirit of God is leading you to put sin to death. That's the flow of the thought. The Spirit of God is coming along and said, hey, we've got a sin here. This thing got to die. And the fact that you are with that, the fact that the Spirit of God is working, he's leading you to deal with sin, Paul says, look at it, verse 14, is an evidence that you are a son or daughter of God. It's an evidence that the Spirit is living in you. So this fight that you're in, of having to hand over sin in your body to the Spirit over and over, it's actually an evidence of new life in you. Bishop J.C. Ryle, Anglican pastor from previous centuries, said this, the Christian is known by two marks, his inward peace and his inward warfare. Isn't that interesting? He's saying, you can tell Christians by a couple things. They've got this inward peace, but they've also got an inward fight. You see, the Holy Spirit wants you to walk by the Spirit. And that's going to mean he's going to energize obedience in your body. But get this, he's also going to help execute sin in your body. Now you may be hearing this and saying, this sounds exhausting. Like this sounds draining. This sounds difficult. This sounds messy. If you're feeling all of that, then you need to hear what Paul says next in verses 15, 16, and 17. We get the third thing I want you to hear today. Let me read verses 15, 16, and 17. Look at them with me. So right after he says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, look what he says next, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Hey, here's the third thing we need to see. See, the Holy Spirit helps energize obedience in your body. We've seen that. The Holy Spirit helps execute sin in your body. But here's the third thing. Right in the midst of it says this: the Holy Spirit helps encourage closeness to the Father. Right in the midst of all that's going on in your life, the Holy Spirit helps encourage closeness with the Father. He comes and he lives inside of you and he moves you closer to God the Father. I love these verses. These are sweet verses. I love verse 15. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit inside of you who testifies that you belong to God, he moves in you not to be afraid, not to pull back from God, but actually draw close and to come to the Almighty God, and say to the Almighty God, Abba, Father. Abba. Like, that's a family word, right? That's something like a little kid would say, like, Abba. The Spirit of God is saying to you, right in the midst of your fight with sin, hey, you can come close. He's your Abba, Father. In fact, verse 16 tells you how it works. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your human spirit. He gives you this inner assurance that you are truly one of God's children. He gives you this inner assurance. He resonates with your human spirit. Are you familiar with the concept of sympathetic resonance? Have you ever heard that, sympathetic resonance? Some of you, if you're musicians, you know about it. Sympathetic resonance is kind of a cool thing. What it means is that if I go over to this piano and I hold down the sustain key or the sustain pedal, and then I lean into the cavity of the piano and I sing a note. I'm not touching any of the keys, okay? I just sing. I sing, bum. If you listen closely, you'll hear that same pitch coming from the piano. Though I didn't play any notes. Because what happens is the strings, the frequency of some of the strings that match the frequency of what I sang, they hear that frequency and they resonate back. So I sing, bum, and the piano goes, bum, same note. I think there's a spiritual sympathetic resonance that the Holy Spirit sings into your soul. He sings, come close. And your human spirit, it echoes back, Abba, Father. And the Spirit says, you belong. And your human spirit says back, belong. And the Spirit of God resonates with your human spirit that you are a child of God. Now remember the context for all this. The context is in the mess and the mix of killing sin. We're not talking about a spiritual retreat here where everything is beautiful and serene and placid. We're talking about the messy business of handing over sin to the Spirit to be killed. And in the middle of that, Paul says, the Spirit sings to your soul and says to you, wait, wait, wait. Don't pull away. Come close. Come close. And your human spirit says, really? Abba, Father. And he draws you in. You see, most of us, when we're fighting sin, we feel like, God, you must not be happy with me at all. Maybe I should just slink away and stay in the shadows until I get this thing figured out a little bit better. And then I'll be able to come into your presence. And then I'll be able to say, Abba, Father. But Paul is saying, no, 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 no. In the very midst of hell, the Spirit of God sings to your soul. Come close. Abba, Father. He's doing that. Doesn't want you to stay away. Want you to lean in, sing out, to enjoy, to rejoice. You say, but I'm still in the midst of this fight. Yeah, you will be the rest of your life. But he wants you to be close. In fact, he assures you that it's going to be worth it. He assures you that it's going to be worth the fight the Spirit of God does. Look how this passage ends in verse 17. We'll wrap it up in verse 17. Right after saying the Spirit of God testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The Spirit of God is saying, look, just like Jesus suffered, he fought sin. He gave his life to kill sin. So you're going to be involved in a fight. But because you're in Christ, the Spirit says, you share in his sufferings, but you're going to share in his glory. But you have a glorious future. One day you will be like Christ. We'll talk about this next time. The Spirit of God assures you that's your future because you belong to the Father. You are a co-heir with Christ. So what I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, today is this. The spiritual life is not a life of small struggles and easy victories. It's a life where you're going to have to kill sin by the power of the Spirit. You have to keep handing it over him. But in the midst of that, you can hear the music. You can hear the Spirit of God singing into your soul. Not because you are worthy, but because you are loved. Not because you have earned it, because you've been given it. You've been adopted into the family. And the Spirit of God says, look, let's kill that sin. But you come close. God's children live in God's presence, even as they're learning to walk by the Spirit. Would you just bow your head and heart and take a moment and talk to the Lord about this? Maybe for some of you today, there are some sins that have been surfaced as we've talked, and you need to hand them over right now. You need to say, Lord, I know this sin that I'm living out in my body, it needs to die. And maybe right now you need to just hand that over and say, I don't want it to kill me. Lord, I want you to kill it. Do that today. Repent. Bring it to the presence of God. Hand it over. Don't harbor it. Don't give it quarter. But maybe you're also in the midst of it feeling like you're a giant failure. Big screw up. Maybe you need to hear the Spirit's music that says to you, you belong, come close, Abba Father. Then let the music waft into your soul and sing it back. The Spirit of God wants to help you walk with Christ and draw close to the Father. So talk to him about whatever's on your heart for a moment, and then I'll close this in a word of prayer. Before I pray, I just feel constrained to say this. You know, revival breaks out when Christians get serious about seeing sin killed in their life. Could it be that God wants to have this campus, this place, more alive with his Spirit because we're putting things to death by the power of the Spirit? If God is speaking to you today about some areas that need to die, my brother or sister, do not resist that. Come clean. Come quick. Hand it over to the Spirit of God. Repent. Confess that. You might need to go to somebody that you've harmed and ask forgiveness. You might need to go to someone and say, look, this has been my struggle. I want this to be dead. Revival breaks out when Christians get serious about dealing with sin. But revival breaks out when Christians know the sweetness of the Spirit's resonance in their souls. May God give us that here at Heritage. Father, I do pray for that. I pray that this would be a campus where we walk in the light as he is in the light. And that as you speak to us, we would be quick to run to the Father stop our hiding, to bring into your presence any sin that's holding us back, and to ask you by the Spirit's power to kill it, to put it to death. And then at the same time, by grace, may we listen for the music of the Spirit that invites us to come close to you because of what Jesus has done for us. And I pray all of this for the glory of your name, the good of your people, and the salvation of the lost around the world. Let it break out here.